Well, tonight we're still teaching on the subject of being filled with the Holy Spirit, which was a command in the Word of God that we're supposed to be full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So we're looking at things about the Holy Ghost. We're teaching and talking about some of the misconceptions that people have about the Holy Spirit, because there are sometimes so many things said, and we had said the last time, you know, people get over and really are not taught on the subject. And you hear what people say, and people say all kinds of stuff. You hear so many things, and people just generally don't check it out to find out if things are true in the Bible, and they just go along and they form these beliefs. And they have beliefs, and really, you run into a lot of people, and I was surprised when I came into the kingdom of God, and I started learning the Word of God, and I had this idea that, you know, I'll never forget, I mean, just a young Christian, and God told Wanda and I we were supposed to go to this one church, and he said to me, go to help this pastor get this church started. And I was just a very young Christian. I mean, I was, you know, really young. And what I was looking for, I was looking to go to a church where there was good teaching and I could sit down and learn. And the Lord said, I want you to go there and help them. And we went to this church, and man, these people were Christians for years. Some of them had been filled with the Holy Ghost for 20 years. And I'm serious. I'm like, you know, 4 or 5 months old in the Lord. And, I mean, I was shocked. I knew more about the Word than they did. They're really full of religion. They had a lot of religious ideas. They had all these things that they had. Like, you know, it was sort of like, you know, they got Spirit-filled. But, you know, most of them had come out of denominational churches and different things, and they got Spirit-filled. But when they got Spirit-filled, they just drug all their other old teaching in along with it. And everything just mixed together. And I was just shocked. I said, Lord, why are you sending me here? I said, I need to be taught. And the Spirit of the Lord said to me, he said, you go here. He said, the pastor's going to end up asking you to teach. I said, me to teach? I want to go. I want to be taught. But most of the teaching and things that I got, I had not gotten in church. The Lord told me to buy Kenneth Hagin tapes and books at that time and that kind of things. And I had bought loads and loads of them. In fact, I had probably about everything that he had on tape that he ever did that you could buy, and all of his books and stuff. And I would just read and study all the time and listen to the teaching on those things. And then I would just go, and you know, I always followed what he said. He said, when I teach, he said, you look into the Word to make sure that what I'm telling you is true. You know, look in the Bible, find out. Just don't take it because I say it. So I just learned. I just spent a lot of time in the Bible and things and learning. And I just really found people really don't know a lot about things. There's a lot of people out here that are really ignorant. So don't ever take it the fact that people generally know what you know. You're just amazed. You might not think you know very. Like, I didn't figure that I knew much of anything. But when the Lord started to show me, you know a lot that other people don't know. And it's not to make us big-headed or anything like that, but a lot of people don't know much, so don't ever consider yourself, you know, that, you know, you might not, like, you might look at yourself and say, boy, I need to learn a lot. Well, let me tell you, I'll guarantee you, there's a whole lot more people around you, ain't even in your class. People don't know. So don't take it that people know about things. And so dealing in the areas of tongues, we're dealing with these misconceptions that people have. We talked last week about the fact, because there are people, you know, that believe that if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you're not saved. I mean, that's a totally ludicrous thing, because most of the people that believe that were born again for years before they got filled with the Holy Ghost. And so I don't understand it. They must have thought they never were saved before that time. I mean, it's really sort of dumb, but people do it. You need to go the Word. People hear things, and you know, people can take scriptures and twist them around and make you think stuff and make you believe stuff. I'm really shocked. I mean, I have minister friends who have come along and said to me at times things that they started believing certain things. And they were taught good doctrine. And they let somebody talk them into something dumb. It's like you stop and then I ask them a few questions and they'll sit there and look at you sort of stupid like, yeah, well, you know, hey, what you're believing is really dumb. You know, it's not in line at all with the Word. And that's why, you know, don't matter how good something sounds, look at what the Bible says. You know, I mean, to me, I got born again when I was 30 years old. And I mean, I really lived a deceived life. I mean, a messed up and deceived life. I don't want to be deceived anymore. You know, something in the Bible doesn't have to be some spectacular sounding thing. I found this out. Truth's wonderful because when you do truth, it blesses your life when you walk and live in it. And I've lived now for 32 years as a Christian, and I lived 30 years as a sinner. And in fact, I'll be soon be 33 years as a Christian. And I'll tell you what, this is the best life I've ever had. This is the best I've ever. And I wouldn't want to go to something else. Somebody don't have to come out with some far out religions or religious ideas. The principles that we have, they work and they'll bless your life. And they'll give you a good life. And to me, to know God is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And so, praise God. You know, we want to get people filled with the Holy Ghost, but we're not trying to terrorize them to get them filled. Make them think that if they're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, they're not saved. You know, and we talked about that, and also we talked last week because the fact of, and it's starting to come around again with these people. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, when Jesus comes to take the church, you're not going to go with. I mean, that kind of stuff, and that stuff's devilish. That is devilish. Those kind of things. There's going to be divisions in the church on because of things of belief, but we need to nip that stuff and just stay away from those areas. And I said, we want to get people filled with the Holy Ghost because I personally don't believe that you can live the life that God wants you to live without being filled with the Holy Ghost. I believe being filled with the Holy Spirit is a necessity. And people need to do that. They need to get filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't think you can do the perfect will of God without it. I don't see how you can. But nonetheless, it doesn't mean that a person's not saved or when Jesus comes, you know, they have to stay here because they didn't get filled with the Holy Ghost. I certainly don't believe that. We went through enough scriptures to look at those things last time to go through them to show you that those things were not true. One of the things I want to talk about, because when people do get over, we talked about tongues and praying in tongues and things, which is very important. But we also want to talk about the fact that because people get over in the things that believe that all tongues is prayer. And we want to look at that because we want to deal with that because all tongues is not prayer. One of the things that we want to do as believers is learn to be sensitive in the spirit to what is going on or what we're doing when we're praying in tongues. Because part we can do in tongues is when we can pray in other tongues, but that's not the only thing we do in tongues is just pray in tongues. One of the things that we had talked about before was dealing with the gifts of the Spirit and dealing over in the areas of the gifts of the Spirit, so because there are different kinds. The Bible talks about different kinds of tongues, which was one of the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 14 and 5 said, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with a tongue, lest he interprets. Indeed, he interprets. It says, that the church may receive edification. So, understand, this is an operation of the gift of tongues that is not every believer is going to operate in that as a ministry gift. Now, but I want to clarify this. In your own personal devotional life, you could operate in interpretation. I believe any believer could, because the Bible talks about in Corinthians about if you speak in tongues, pray, you might interpret. When you're over in your own personal prayer life, sometimes you will get an interpretation of what you are praying or what you are saying in tongues. Sometimes when I sing in tongues even or something like that, it'll come to me what I'm singing. And I'll sing it out in the words out in it. But that is not the same as the gift that operates in church. That is a ministry gift, and that gift is, see, on your own personal life, that's for your own personal edification. In the church, it's about edifying the church. So it isn't about me. When I'm operating in a gift, or anybody operates in a gift in front of the church, that gift is specifically not for the individual that's doing it. It's for the benefit of those who are there. It's for them. Now, you might get something out of it or something good, but that's not the utmost thing. That when you're operating or ministering in front of people, that is, God has you in a position, or you're operating under any gift that is for the people. It's not for you. Now, in your own personal life, that's that saying. Now, that's for you. That interpretation operates, and that operates over for your edification. That's part of your own building up and your own encouraging you. That's part of what it's for. So, but we need to understand that when you're over here with the tongues and interpretation are not prayer. Tongues and interpretation, when that gift is in operation, there's not prayer involved in it. You're speaking words out is what the Holy Spirit is giving to say, and then either somebody or even yourself interprets what's said. That is not specifically prayer. And you need to understand the difference, because in your spirit you need to know what's going on. Sometimes people will speak out in tongues in a meeting, and really those tongues are not for interpretation. It's for their own edification. And it's not for interpretation. But see, if a person doesn't know or develop in the area of the Spirit and doesn't know that, they'll speak that out. Because, you know, you're in a service, you might get edified, you know, and the Holy Ghost is there, and people get excited, and somebody speaks out. But it's not to be interpreted if it would be an interpretation, it'd be for the individual themselves. It's for their own edification. So you have to learn spiritually about these things. So you know what's going on, whether or not, you know, the fact of it is, am I just praying in tongues? Am I just praying in tongues? Am I edifying myself? Or sometimes an unction comes on us to do something, to speak out in tongues. So not everything is prayer. Now, we found out here in that scripture, tongues and interpretation is equal to prophecy. And say, well, why doesn't God just speak out in prophecy? I have no clue. He operates in tongues and interpretation. You know, I've had people over time, and they get all confused about this stuff. Is the thing it is, they get into reasons. Well, why would God do it that way? It doesn't matter. He chose to do it that way. And so he operates through tongues and interpretation. I've operated in tongues and interpretation and prophecy since I've been a young Christian. Those have operated through me. And sometimes, you know, either one. I will get a sense sometimes before I even speak in tongues. I'll get a sense of the direction the Holy Spirit's going. But I really won't get what is happening until I begin to speak out in those tongues. Or prophecy much operates the same way. Sometimes I'll just get a word. A word comes to speak out, and if I say that first word, then the rest of it will flow with it. The stuff will start coming behind it. So, but those tongues that we do in ministry like that, and really it is ministry, so we need to operate in that area. And understand, too, when we operate, the reason they call it different kinds of tongues and interpretation, and this might help you in the area of distinguishing yourself, of when the Holy Spirit's moving on you. The tongues that you operate under, tongues and interpretation, are not the tongues that you would do in your regular prayer life. That's why it calls it different tongues. You'll find out that those tongues are a different tongue. It's a different language. See, I speak in tongues. I have a general language that I speak in tongues. And when I pray in tongues, when I'm praying in tongues, or I'm worshiping God in tongues or singing in tongues, I have a general language. It's almost like a language I know. Sometimes I can get a gist of what I'm saying. You know, language, after a while, you start to learn it. And so you go over into this language. But when tongues come, I speak in a different language. Sometimes I will go into, even in my own personal life, I'll be worshiping or something, and all of a sudden I go into a different tongue. I'll start operating under a different tongue than what I did. Now that's under tongues, and like a tongues and interpretation. That's not under my regular tongues. So you can know that speaking out in tongues and interpretation is not your general language. That's why sometimes a person will speak out in tongues and they're actually speaking a language, it's a known language in this earth. But it's a different language to them. It's foreign to them. They don't know what they're saying. I've heard people, you know, do numbers of different things. In the early 1900s, when the Holy Ghost was poured out here in the United States, that stuff, one of the things, Parham, a group up with him, one woman got filled with the Holy Ghost. It was the first of their group to get full. They were seeking God about the Holy Spirit, whether people were supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So they just got together and started praying, seeking God to find out, was this baptism of the Holy Spirit for the church today or not? And this woman got filled with the Holy Ghost. And they found out that she was speaking a language that the first time she spoke out was Chinese. And she didn't know it, and it was really sort of a not a well-known dialect of Chinese. And it turned out that they found out when she spoke is at the meeting there was a Chinese missionary there, a guy was a missionary, and he knew some of what she was saying, but he said, I don't know what all she was saying because he said, with the dialect she's speaking, I couldn't interpret it. But she's talking in Chinese. He said, I knew what she's talking about. So sometimes we'll do that. The day of Pentecost, that happened. The day of Pentecost, they were speaking, people heard them. Now, sometimes I'm convinced that this happened. I'm convinced of the fact that people will speak and they did not necessarily speak that person's language, but that person heard them in their language. Well, you know, I want you to think about this. Some people say, well, how could you say that? Because I know from interpreting tongues. I'll speak out in tongues and know what I'm saying. I ain't speaking the language I know. But I know what I'm saying. You hear something, it's different than what you're saying. You're saying, but you're hearing something else. So it does operate in those ways. So all tongues, and we have to know that all tongues is not praying in tongues. So, but there is a prayer language that we do get, and people call it a prayer language. But yet, in itself, it's not always prayer, because, like Paul said, I could sing in tongues. He wasn't praying. That had to do with just self-edification, you know. And it wasn't praying, per se. Yet, at the same time, and understand this, when we do, like in generally in tongues, we're speaking not unto men, but unto God. And how being in the Spirit, we're speaking mysteries. We don't know what we're saying. Well, and again, I could sing out mysteries. But you'll find in the area, especially when you get over in tongues in the areas of prayer and worship, I find out I get into more interpretation over there into that than I do generally in my prayer when I'm praying. When I get over to the areas of worship, then lots of times in those areas of worship, I'll start speaking out psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. I start speaking out things in tongues and start interpreting what I was singing, what I'm worshiping, sometimes what I'm saying to God. Sometimes I'll speak things out in tongues to God, and then I'll turn around and find myself, and I'll interpret it and just start speaking it out. And I'll know when I start doing that, I just know that I'm saying what I was saying over in the areas of tongues. And so, but that there is dealing with the areas of personal edification. So, we need to learn to develop over in the areas, especially in our, in the gifting areas, and learning to know in inside of us as a Christian, operating in things of the Spirit, becoming sensitive. And this is one of the things that I believe is so important about praying and spending time in praying in tongues, because you want to become spiritually sensitive to things, because you want to become spiritually aware. And you need to be spiritually aware of what is going on in you. There's things that your spirit wants to speak out, say, and do, that your inner man wants to do. And you have to find out, is this for me, or is this for ministry, or what's it for? You need to know the difference between it to operate in it. And there's people that are a whole lot better at it than I am, but over time I have learned some things by operating in it. And so I just encourage you to spend time in worship and things in your regular tongues. I believe that's the key to all the gifts and things that are going to operate through people anyhow. Now, I do believe that anyone at any time could operate through any gift of the Spirit. But you will find generally people will have certain gifts that manifest through them. And one of the things that is finding out what it is. You'll find among people in the ministry who are in an area of whether they're an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, they will have predominantly certain gifts that will operate for them to stand in that office. And so you may see more of it from that standpoint. But we do have from Scripture tells us that these gifts, the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit, operate individually through each one. It says, as the Spirit wills. So no believer should think that they're not going to have any supernatural manifestations through them of gifts. And understand what these gifts are for. They are not for you. They are for ministering to other people. That's the reason they operate through us, is to bless or to help somebody else. So you just want to find out, you know, working over there in those areas. When we over into Acts, we talked about the thing in Acts, and we're in over at Acts, the second chapter in verses 5 through 12 actually talks about those people when they were there, where tongues, when tongues were operating, the tongues that were operating through these individuals. And maybe I'll read through it. It says, in verse 5 of Acts 2, it says, "And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when these sounds occurred," and this is when the Holy Ghost was poured out, "it said the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speaking in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born?" And then it goes, gives a list out, the next two verses tell us all the different nations that these people were from. And then 11 says, "In Cretans," and says, "We heard them speak in our own language the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean?" So in other words, these people were out here, and what they were doing when the Holy Ghost was poured out on these individuals, they didn't just all of a sudden just speaking, you know, out in tongues, but their tongues that they were speaking in, people were hearing what they were saying in their tongues. This is one of the things that I don't think these individuals were necessarily speaking these people's languages, because it doesn't say, it says, one of the things that confused them was, how come we hear all of us hear them talking in our own language? Now, if you would have had them all speaking, and they were all speaking all these different languages, all these people, that would have been a huge confusion. I mean, people wouldn't have been able probably to pick out who was they were talking in my language. But it says, how come we can all hear these people talking in our own language? How come? See, really, there was more of a miracle took place there than the church really understands. Because what they heard these people really edifying themselves in tongues. By speaking in tongues, and well, these guys are praising God in tongues. We can hear them do that. And they're doing it. We hear it in our language. So I don't believe you necessarily have to speak in a person's language for them to understand it. They could very well, we could speak out in tongues, yet sometimes a person does speak in a certain language. They will speak out actually in a language. And it's happened numbers of times that can take place. But I don't believe that's what took place here. Because this is what really threw them, was all these different nationalities of people. And they say, how come we hear all of them talking out in our language? How come we hear that? And so that would seem a little surprising, wouldn't it? And so that may take place. So under circumstances, and this is also another reason, when you get around people and they're telling you, well, we shouldn't, around, you know, sinners and stuff, we shouldn't be, you know, talking in tongues and things and stuff. There's times maybe you shouldn't, maybe there's times that you, but here we find this is why we need to be spiritually sensitive to when we're supposed to be doing things, because here they are, they came down to hear what was going on from these folks down here, and really God used tongues as a way of really grabbing a hold of the sinner. So when church services, I've heard so many churches, we don't want to have these tongues and stuff in our services. You know, we don't want to scare anybody. No, what they want to do is they don't want to scare the devil out of their services. They want to keep the devil in them. You know, you're going to keep them in the service. You know, we can't scare the devil out of here. And, you know, and really, it is there. Anything in operating in a church service in order, tongues interpretation operating in order, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that going on. And if it's the Holy Ghost would be doing it, to bring it to a stop is to be actually resisting God. That'd be resisting God. So you don't want to stop that kind of stuff, and you don't want to bring it to a halt, because you're not going to turn around and say, God, we'd like to have gifts of healings, but Holy Ghost, don't you operate in any other way that we don't like. Well, I'll tell you, you won't see the rest of it either. You know, there's plenty of churches that the Holy Ghost don't even go there. They're spirit-filled, call themselves spirit-filled churches. The Holy Ghost don't go there because he ain't allowed to operate there. And, you know, it's like the guy was a black singer years ago. This goes back in the 80s. I remember listening to a testimony. He was talking about the fact that he has a wonderful trained voice, beautiful, beautiful singing voice. And you wouldn't know he was black. I mean, he had a very professional voice. I mean, he was just a very professional singer. And, you know, you just couldn't tell any kind of, you know, accent either way of this man. Just great voice singer. And so I guess this church must have heard he was, you know, heard some of his music and really liked it and wanted to have him come to church and sing. And his beautiful singing voice and Christian, you know, he's a good Holy Ghost Spirit-filled guy. And so he goes to their church and they find out he's black. And they say, well, sorry, we don't allow black people in our church. So they told him he couldn't come, and they put him outside the church. They told him he had to go. He said, I went outside, and he told the story. He said, I went outside. He said, I went outside. He said, I was sitting on the front porch. He said, the church are on the steps. And he was sitting there, and he said, I'm just, you know, he said, I'm half crying and grumbling to God, you know, about this thing. And he said, inside I heard them. They started singing and stuff in there. And he said, Lord, I came here, and these people. And he said, the Lord spoke to him and said, what are you complaining about? They don't let me in there either. And I want to tell you that we laugh at that. I'm going to guarantee you that's he's exactly right. God ain't in there. You know, Jesus spoke specifically in the book of Revelation, standing at the door and knocking. They ain't letting him in. Church not letting him in. We got churches today. You can call themselves Spirit-filled, where Jesus stands at the door and knocks. He's trying to get in there. And so, praise God, we're letting him in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Man, we want him in. Man, you got to have him in. Hallelujah. So, praise God. So, we want to walk in these areas is understand that we'll operate in different things. Sometimes we're praying in tongues. And the only thing that you can't really talk specifically about some things, because it's very hard to deal sometimes with spiritual things. But you've got to learn to listen to your own spirit. And over time, you can begin to start become sensitive of what the Holy Spirit's doing in you. Of if you're operating in a gift or you're praying, you know, sometimes you'll just, you know, sometimes you just get a burden to pray about something. But you don't know what, sometimes, I've had times of burdens come on me. And sometimes I don't like to use the word burden, but I don't know what else to call it. It comes on you and you have this desire, you just have this need to pray. You just keeps nagging at you. But you don't know what to pray about, so you just pray in other tongues. You know, and there's times that that's what you do. You just pray in other tongues. And that's what you're praying. You're there praying in other tongues. You don't know what you're saying, what you're doing. And then sometimes I've had those where you don't even find out what at all you're even praying about. You don't even ever find out about you praying, and all of a sudden, yeah, you go through and pray for a while. I've had certain things come on me sometimes where I'll go it over maybe sometimes a couple weeks' time or even a month. That this thing just keeps dropping on me to pray, and I don't know what it is, and I'll just pray about it. I'll spend time in prayer, and you know, when I can, I'll spend time in prayer about it, and maybe every day, just for a period of time, it'll come on me. I'll pray. I never find out what it's about, but I know when it comes on me, it's the same thing, whatever it is. And I just get over there and pray about it for a while. Then there's other times you get over there and it comes on you to pray. It's like something you can't just release. You're like, you got to pray that out, whatever it is. You know, you got to do it. But sometimes something will just come on you for a period of time. And over the years, I mean, when I got into that when I was first a young Christian, because when I started off, one of the things that I did probably most different than most young Christians, my Christian development was in prayer. I learned. A lot of the revelation and stuff that I got during times of prayer. I spent a lot of time. My first three years as a Christian, I mean, I probably spent, when I look out of my study time and everything else, probably over half of it was spent in times of prayer. And I learned to commune. I learned to know God, because I don't know any other way to get to. You can learn God about God in the book, but in prayer, you get to actually learn to talk to Him. In prayer, you get to hook up with God. And, you know, that's when I'd pray and God would speak to me and God would reveal things to me and show me stuff. And I had loads and loads of during times of prayer, supernatural things take place and happen. There's lots of times I'd be praying along, mind my own business, just praying, you know, about things or, you know, that the Word tells us to. And I'd have a vision, see stuff, know stuff that was going on, know things were going to happen and stuff. And I just got over into that area. And so, but I found out when you get over into that area, what happens is because you start becoming more sensitive of things. And what happens, God will start dropping things on you to pray about. There's things that come to you to pray about. And there's one thing is you want to learn in those areas. You want to become sensitive in your spirit about that stuff because God will want to, God many times is looking for somebody that he can get to hook up on things. And especially if you go over the area where you're praying tongues, because God can get you and use you in a supernatural way and in a supernatural area, because many people will not do what their mind don't understand. They won't do it. If they don't have an intellectual understanding of it, they won't do it. They need to understand all kinds of stuff. But if God gets you over and he'll get you to, and you'll just pray in tongues, you know, just because he puts something on you and you'll just go ahead and pray, that opens the door. And I believe that's like, you know, a lot of the things that came around is he got revelation because of my willingness to go over in those areas and pray. And I learned from Kenneth Hagin because he was a big prayer. That's what he would do all the time, is pray. And I learned from him. And he talked about he said the majority of his revelations that he ever got, he got them while he was praying in other tongues. Well, man, he had a lot of good, wonderful revelations. I thought, I'll need to have a few too. Well, no, you want to have revelation to bring to people. You know, we could just take the book and we could just make it a study thing, you know. But we have to have it. It's life, man. This is a real life. This is a real God. He really lives in us. And he's real. And he wants to be real to us. Not just words on a page, that he lives inside of us. And it's like, I'll never forget when I heard Kenneth Hagin say, he said, God's more real to me than my wife laying in the bed beside me. He's more real to me. He said, I know him better than I know my wife. Man, when I heard those things, that's what I began to seek. I want to know God. I want to know God. I want to. It's one thing, and this is, it's not kinds of bragging or anything, but really, when the Lord said to me about when I started the church, he said, I want you to teach people so they know me. It isn't just a matter of giving out some scriptures. It's not a matter of memorizing verses and knowing just what the Bible said. You can actually know God. And that's what God wants. God wants you to just know him. Just know him. He becomes real. He becomes alive in you. Where, you know, it's like to me is, you know, heaven's so real. I'd like to leave. I'm serious. I'd like to leave and go there. I mean, to me, it's very hard for me to understand most Christians because I don't understand them. Because, you know, people just fight for this life. It's like, I've seen and had all of it I want. I like to go. I've touched that side and I've been on this side. Boy, that one's better. And it's like, it is, you know, and it's not like, well, I want to quit here. I want to serve God. I want to do what he wants me to do. But he's real. He's real. And that's where the difference comes of getting to know God. We're getting over there and hooked up. And it's not, we're just not doing just some religious works. We're doing, when he becomes real to us, you know, when we run into trouble, it'll be real to us that he's with us. We won't have to have, you know, somebody always come along and trying to encourage us. You know, we'll come to the point, I know he's with me. If I'm going to get encouragement, I'm going to get it from him. You know, I don't need somebody come along all the time and remind me God's real. I know he's real. You know, when John wrote and said, we know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. My God, people said, most Christians walk around and talk about, oh, the struggle to walk in love. Well, what's wrong? Don't you even know you're a Christian? Well, you know, you think about it. He said, because of the love is we know we are saved. And the church acts like love some just, oh, terrible hard thing. It is because they don't know God is love. If I don't know love, I don't know God. God doesn't have love. God is love. That's what he is. He don't have it. He is. That's exactly what. And if you know him, man, love ain't something you're trying to have. Glory to God. You can go hang out with love. You can talk to love every day. That's what he is. But see, it becomes real. You know, there's just too much of Christianity that we're working hard at. And so God had to deal with me. It was a fact of it. He said, you know, I called you before the foundation of the world to be transformed to the image of my Son. Let me do it. You know, because I was working at it. And really, it was through knowing him and walking with him, it changes you. You know, we were talking a little bit before we got started about, you know, the influence of other people. I believe in the influence of the Word of God. But I'll tell you what, you get into the presence of God, it'll change you. He will change you. You get changed being in His presence. Just like people who get into people's presence, good or bad, it influences them. Well, I'm going to tell you, if humans influence each other that way, how would it influence us to be in the presence of God? And that's what I found out, being in His presence. Being in His presence will just influence your life. It'll change things that normally you struggled to change, that you worked hard to try to get to do. You read all the scriptures and you quoted them, but you got hanging around Him, and that changed it all. And it really does. Hallelujah. It'll work. Now, all that was said over that there, tongues and prayer. That's just the way it goes sometimes. Hallelujah. But the Holy Ghost is saying things. You know, God wants this stuff to be real to us. He wants it to be real to us. Hallelujah. And He's real. And He wants to be real in your life. Now, one of the things that they do talk is, one of the misnomers is, tongues are just the ability to speak foreign languages. Sometimes people get over there and they think that. In fact, there's a lot of them. I mean, I've heard... And, I mean, I'll just say, you know, and this is, I'm not being derogatory of the person, but I mean, I heard Stanley, you know, he teaches, and I've heard him talk about that, and, you know, he spoke about this. Now, you know, I mean, he said it, so, I mean, it isn't like I'm trying to do something that he said. He believes that, you know, it's, tongues is about learning other languages. Now, to me, I always had to laugh when I think about it, because we got more sinners that got that gift than saints. It's like, come on. Now, that doesn't mean that a person couldn't supernaturally learn a language. Now, I was on a mission trip down Peru with a guy who today is a missionary in Mexico. And he went down to Mexico on a mission trip. He didn't know any Spanish, none whatsoever, and he went. And he was down there on a mission trip for, I forget how many weeks they went on this mission. They went on a short-term mission thing. And he was a mission. And he came back speaking Spanish. And, I mean, he spoke it well. And, you know, supernaturally. You'll have that at times. But then again, we don't have any scriptural standpoint to make you think that that could happen to you. I mean, that that's going to happen to you. I mean, sometimes God does certain things in an area. Then again, I know other people have gone, and I mean, they put their faith out, believe in God, and they've, you know, they've had to work a long time to learn the language and stuff and things, and do that. But tongues is not the ability, you know, to learn a language, because if you don't know a language, you're going to be a missionary on a field, and you want to learn that language. The tongues is not, it has nothing to do with that gift in itself. Because the Bible told us in 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man, but to God." Now it amazes me that Charles Stanley never read that scripture. I wish he would have. And if he did, he just ignored it. He says, "For no one understands him, however, in the spirit he speaks mysteries." So tongues are definitely, we know, that's not about speaking a language that people can understand. So the purpose for speaking divine secrets is that one... that no one except God knows what you're talking about. That's what it's for. And I am sure of that fact. I'm sure it, the way it confuses people who don't know any different, I'm sure the devil sure gets upset about it too, because he's as confused as they are. You can just, you know, there's one, sometimes the things that you can measure. You know, when you get around people that ain't very spiritual, sometimes you can measure, if they don't like it, it's a good chance it probably is God. But I'm sure the devil really does not like it at all, is the fact, because we do, as we're praying in tongues, we're speaking mysteries to God, we're communing with God. And we're speaking, it says we're speaking mysteries, and you do need to understand this, that the devil is not as knowledgeable as people think he is about stuff. You know, there's much that people, and here's one thing is learning, you know, we talk about guarding our tongues and what we say. And here's really one of the important things. There's many things that the devil doesn't know what you think. He cannot read thoughts. He does not read thoughts. The devil don't read thoughts. He doesn't know everybody and what everybody's... You know how he finds out information about people? Their blab big mouth. That's how spirits find out about our problems and what we're dealing with and what we're going through. The devil listens to us talk. And we lots of times feed him a lot of good information to use against us. He does. And I'm serious. You need to understand this. A thought, I don't care how devious a thought comes to you, a thought unspoken is unborn. It can't come to pass. The only thing, the way something can come to pass, if it's spoken. If it's believed and it's spoken. That's why we're supposed to guard our mouths. We guard ourselves what we say. The Bible tells us to take every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Why? Take the thought. Why? Take the thought into captivity. Don't put it into words. Don't put it into words. Don't start speaking it out, because you start talking it, you'll start believing it, and you'll bring it to pass. People bring their own demise upon themselves many times, and they try to blame the devil, somebody else, or something else, and they bring it upon themselves. Understand that. Be careful about what you say. Just because a thought comes to you, anybody, I could bring a thought to your mind just by saying a certain thing. That don't mean you thought the thought. I can bring it to you. Satan's spirits can bring thoughts to you. You know, the devil will bring a devious thought to you and say, if you were a good Christian, why would you think such a thing? Don't think it strange that bad thoughts would come to you. We live in a demonic world. We live in a world that's all around us, and there's a lot of things that influence and effect comes to us. But because a thought comes to you, that don't mean you're the originator of the thought. And even if you originated it, you can bring it to a stop. So, and understand that, you know, it'll help you a whole lot. So we want to, but over in the area of tongues, this divine secrets, we don't speak, this is not speaking at all about other languages or talking other languages, but it has to do specifically with speaking to God, because it says this in 1 Corinthians 14:14, it says, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Well, what good would it be to learn a language if you didn't know what it said? If it's the ability to learn languages, I'm up preaching. What do you say? I don't know. Well, then how'd you know what you ministered to them? I mean, it's like, it really gets me how, you know, people read the Bible. They say they read the Bible. And think about it. I mean, loads of these groups, these people read through the Bible. You know, they do the yearly reading through the Bible. They yearly read through the Bible and don't learn a thing. I used to do the yearly Bible readings. I don't do that much. I don't do that anymore. I mostly, there's things that just come to me to go over into certain areas, and I'll have like, sometimes I'll get like, you know, maybe a certain book of the Bible will come to me and just to read that, and I'll go over, or a certain part of a book of the Bible, and I'll read it, and I might read that, I could read over for months. I mean, just keep going back over it. I'll just keep getting, don't read that again. Well, I know this, if God's telling me to go read it again, I don't know what it said yet. Well, no, and I find, but you know, it's lots of times too. It is you get it into you, till you really start to get it into you what's said, and it's just going over it and over it and over it till it does till stuff starts to sink into you, till stuff starts to coming, and surely I'm sure he's trying to teach us a few things. I mean, it would sure do me some good to learn something, so I'm sure he's trying and working in those areas. But we're not trying to learn foreign languages. That's not what this is talking about. There's nothing wrong with learning foreign language. And if you're going to do that, it'd be good to get in faith with God about it. Hallelujah. I mean, I learned from just with learning when I went through school and stuff. I guess they would say, you know, like me, if I had a learning disability, because I really had a lot of trouble, hard time with reading and comprehending things. I had a tough time with that in school, very hard time with it. But when I got born again, I started listening to Kenneth Hagin teach, and he said, now, when he went to school, D was the lowest mark you could get. He said, I got straight D's. He said, in school, he said, I got straight D's. But he said, when I got born again, he said, I became a straight A student. And he started saying things about certain scriptures, about having the mind of Christ, and he started to say about himself that the scriptures said. And I started to do that. When I first got born again, I started speaking completely different because, you know, I just started talking about my mind. I just started my mind being good. I started speaking about I learn what I read, I comprehend, and, you know, and things I just started saying about myself, having the mind of Christ. And, I learned that when I went to Bible school. When I was in Bible school, I mean, I was there as a full-time student, plus I worked, regular 40-hour week. While I was there and that stuff and going to school. So, you don't have a lot of time of studying and stuff and things like that. So I put faith out with God and that things, and I would just, really it just operating in faith helped me immensely. I'd retain things and remember things. I'd go in and take tests. It would be like I was sitting in a class again. I could almost like hear different things that he was saying, marking out. And, I got straight A's while I was in school. And but is operating in faith, and so you want to learn to operate in faith. Don't one of these people. You know, I get around people all the time, and they always put. I taught Bible schools. I taught in Bible school for a number of years, and I used to try to get students over, and I had the hardest time. You know, I just don't like to take tests. I used to tell them, keep your blab mouth shut. You should be saying, I love to take tests. Because if you don't like tests, you ain't going to like God at all, because He's going to test you out on what He taught you.
Amen.
See, you got to learn to say, you know, and if people say, I don't like tests. Why wouldn't you like a test? What, are you a dummy? Now, somebody call you a dummy, you get embarrassed. Well, you should be called one, because you always call you a dummy, whether you realize it or not. You know, you got to talk right and say what's right. You got to walk the faith. You know, and I know it worked for me. Kenneth Hagin talked about it concerning himself, and I know it worked for me. I just began to say the right things about myself, to speak the right things about myself, and I started believing it. It was true. It was what the Bible said about me, and you know, what God said about me is true. I don't care if anybody else likes it or not, or anybody else cares to hear it. Too bad. It's what God said, and I'm going to speak what God said about me and do that. Find what the Scripture says about you, say it about yourself, and speak it over yourself, but use faith. If you do have to, you know, you have to learn something, use faith to learn it. And talk about yourself. Don't talk about yourself being hard to learn. I realize, and it's just like today, most disabilities that people have in learning disabilities are nothing but demons. That's all they are. And people keep trying to treat them with drugs and try to treat them through psychology. And if you don't get, you can't fool a demon with psychology, he'll still stay. My problem was demonic. It was I was demonically bound. That's what it was. As soon as I started acting on the Word and operating against that spirit, I had no problem learning. I didn't turn around and have to have my mind healed. There was nothing wrong with my mind other than the devil lived in it. And he had dominated, and over time, a period, he had, you know, till I got born again, I was 30 years old, and I had been cooperating with that. Until I had somebody teach me not to cooperate with that. And by me beginning to speak what the Word of God said about me, that demon power just lost more and more control all the time. Till after a while, his grip was completely moved. And so it's the same with you. You know, it is one thing if somebody actually has brain damage or something else, but we have too much stuff today. All this diagnosis and stuff, and ain't nothing works for it. And I'll tell you what it is. Ain't nothing but demonic junk. That's all it is. Demonic junk. And people are not dealing with it. What they do is they go, well, you know, everybody got a syndrome. Yes, it's called the devil syndrome. And it's called, we in the church are supposed to cast devils out. So we want to operate there. So when you get over in these areas about learning, you can get supernatural help from God in these areas. But learn to speak right about yourself. You're intelligent. You were smart enough to get born again. My words, you're in an elite crowd. These people all go to college and they're even smart enough to get born again. Dear Lord, we're geniuses. You know, think about it. Lee, you had the good sense to accept Jesus when you heard about it. My God, you're a smart bunch of people. I'd rather be around a group that had the sense to accept Jesus than any of the other groups. I don't care what they think they know. And so, but see yourself in the light. Speak of yourself of what you are. Hallelujah. And God will help you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, but tongues is really a language of heaven, really is what it is. And so when you're talking in tongues, understand that it's not only just a language of heaven, it is a supernatural language of heaven. Because it deals in the spirit realm. It operates from the spirit. It does not operate from the natural. So try to bringing tongues over to just make it a natural human language is another thing. I don't know that in heaven per se, people actually speak the languages of the earth. I don't know. You know, people get over to the other side. They all, you know, you go to heaven, you don't find people can't communicate with each other. Now, other than the fact of what I read were can't think of what her last name, Elizabeth, some other, she got caught up to heaven back during, right before the Civil War in the United States, where the angels would get over and talk in other languages around her, and she thought they were trying to hide things from her, and he said to her, no, we're not trying to hide anything from you. He said, there's things that we say here that they can't be said in earthly languages. And then you need to understand that that's one of the things that I find. And while you're here on earth in this body, there's things. You remember Michael Redno one time said, he said, there's things that I could say better if I could speak it in tongues. And really, there's a huge truth to that. There's things that I know that I don't know how to explain it to somebody to say it, but I know it, that I have a revelation of it, but I don't know from our language or any language how to say it that really says what it is. I don't know how to do it. See, we need to understand this. We're in this realm. It's just like Kenneth Hagin used to say, you know, if you went out, you know, and you found an Eskimo that lived out somewhere where there was no trees or no woods or anything like that, and he lived out there, and you go tell him what a tree is, he said, you explain to him what a tree is, and he ain't going to have a clue what you're talking about. How do you explain something? You can tell people the point. I've noticed this with people. It's just like things that people don't know about. You explain and tell somebody about their thinking in a certain way. Do you ever have this, like just reading a book? You're reading a book, and then a book explains a certain thing, and you get a picture in your mind of what it is. But one day you come along and see whatever it is that they were talking about, and you find out, gee, that isn't like I thought. See, sometimes things can't be explained. Well, I'll tell you, things in the spirit are a lot like that. That's why there's so much illustration used in the Bible of speaking about spiritual things. That's why Jesus did. He tried to use explanations of things in the earth to try to explain, but they still are not perfect in what's said. It's still not perfect. He lets us know the idea of things. But many times you'll get a revelation on something, and really, it isn't something that can be specifically explained in natural voices. That's why we want to teach and preach by the anointing, and you want to have the anointing working in your life to hear it. Because God can reveal things to you that can't be explained, that can't really be explained out. And so when you're operating over the areas of tongues, you're operating over that divine side, over in that supernatural place, and speaking things that are supernatural. So, It's just like if a person, you know, when they speak out in tongues in a service, the speaker doesn't understand what he's saying, but a person in the audience could hear that person in another language, just in that operation. That's really a supernatural thing. Those takes place. These are all supernatural happenings. And so, I mean, understand that when we do this thing, this tongues thing, it's all a supernatural thing. But it's hard for people to understand because when you step outside the natural, the intellect can't go there. The intellect can't move in to the tongues area. We do as much as we can from sort of an intellectual side in a way, but really, the words, what I'm speaking to you about is spiritual things. It's not physical things. It's spiritual. And that's why people who can only hear from the side of the physical, they don't get it. They're just listening from the physical side. But it's a spiritual thing. And it's not interpreted by the physical. And the mind can't go there. And that is very difficult for people to understand those kinds of things. Now, I want to... where are we at here? Maybe I'll cover this one more here. We want to look at the areas because there are some excesses in the area of tongues that people over the years have gotten into excess. There's some things that I remember Kenneth Hagin talking about, you know, over time and in ministry, which he had a lot more years than I got. But he would talk about like certain things would come along and later on they'd come around again. You know, there's certain fads and all kinds of things that happen and go along. One of the things that I saw happen and people get into, and I'll guarantee you it'll start to come back. Because you'll always, people will get into excess and people will get into weird. You know, we got tongues. And tongues is a supernatural thing, but sometimes for people it ain't enough. They got to go to they got to have something else too. It's like, you know what? I don't want anything that the Scripture don't say that you have. I'd rather stick with that. I'd stick with what the supernatural of the Bible is good enough. I don't need a something else. And one of the things as an excess that was, you know, got into in years of speaking in tongues, and in the 80s, back in the 80s and into the 90s, it started. It really, boy, it messed a lot of stuff up. And they got into, you know, to fighting the devil in tongues. You know, that really they called it like warring in tongues, and they got into this stuff. Let me tell you, there's major ministries and stuff that people got into this kind of thing. It came out of what these... intercessor groups. There was a lot of flaking. You know, it's one thing as I learned is like no intercessor group. You know, these people call themselves intercessors, and they get their little groups and go off to themselves. You stay away from that. God called any group to be in the body, not some special group out here. When these people become these special groups, you stay away from them because what happens? They always get out into demonic junk. You know, you need to understand this. You get over in the area of the spirit, you start touching over into it. You don't run into just godly stuff, you run into demonic stuff. And if you don't learn, if you don't become spiritual enough and learn to pay attention to other people around you as little bit as a guide and keep you, you start misinterpreting, and you know, you start living by what you see rather than by the word. You start doing things you don't want to go there. And people began to do this. They begin to get over and they're warring, you know, they have these warring tongues. And they used to talk about we praying in tongues, we're tormenting the devil. Well, now they talk about that stuff, but understand, you don't have any place in Scripture that says such things. There's no place in Scripture talks about warring tongues. It doesn't talk about those things. And we need to stay in line with the Word of God. We need to stay in line and keeping ourselves in line. Because there needs to be a real care about this stuff. Because the Bible tells us when we're praying in tongues, we're not speaking to men but to God. It doesn't tell me when I'm talking in tongues, I'm talking to the devil. There's no scriptural basis for that. That when I'm talking in tongues, that I'm talking to the devil. Now that doesn't mean that you aren't, maybe it sometimes get over in the areas of praying that God may have you deal with a demonic, something like that. There's times that I've been praying and the Lord said be wanting to deal with a certain spirit and tells me to deal with a certain spirit. I've had that happen already. But I don't have that happen all the time. I mean, but I never got a sense that when I was praying in tongues, I was fighting the devil or anything. It's because what happens is this kind of teaching and this kind of thing gets people off into an error. And that's what these people begin to do. They get way off into error of things. And what they happen to do is they're fighting the devil all the time. And boy, if the devil can get you over there and occupy your time with him, I will tell you, you will do nothing with for God, and you will do nothing but serve the devil. You might think, oh yeah, boy, I'll tell you, you're really doing something, but you're not doing a thing. And so we need to be careful in these areas. So we're speaking in tongues, not to the devil. We pray in prayer. God may give us, like I said, an unction to deal with something demonic. He may do that. While we're over in prayer, we may get insight into things. I had one time, I was just praying in tongues here last year. I was just praying in tongues. While praying in tongues, I wasn't praying about any certain thing at the time. I was just praying and asking God about some things, but I mean, I wasn't, direction concerning our country and praying for our country. And I was praying and I was just minding my own business. And all of a sudden I saw this vision. And in this vision, I was praying. And while I was praying, I would see angels just go take off like they were going out into something somewhere. They were just, taking off. Going. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. He said, when you're praying, he said, you're like a military commander sending out. He said, what you're doing is you're doing, now you need to understand this. We all do this in a sense, because when you're praying in tongues, you're operating in the spirit realm. So in the spirit realm, when you're praying, you're causing things to happen. So he showed me where I'm over here praying, angels are going out to fulfill things and do something. And he says, in a sense, you're commanding them. Well, I was thinking, I didn't have no sense. I was commanding anybody to do nothing. But he was showing me that in the spirit, when you're over there praying, you're causing things to happen in the realm of the spirit. Now, this sort of kind of thing like this, and these people take a revelation like that, they make it, see, I'm a military commander, that's what I do, I'm a general in the spirit, and I'm a, but people do that. They'll start, well, see, God told me that I'm like a commander. That wasn't what he was trying to tell me as I was a commander. He was showing me that when I was over here praying, what I'm doing, there's angels going out against, and what they do, they'll go, what those angels do, they go out, either to go against demonic forces that are doing stuff, or they influence people, or whatever they do. And so, he was just trying to show me that. And so when we're praying in tongues, we may be doing that. But that doesn't mean every time I'm praying in tongues, that's what I'm doing. But we are, there's one thing you will find. If you're praying in tongues, if you're speaking out the mysteries of God, you're speaking that, you're changing things in the realm of the Spirit. And you need to understand how important it is. If you want to change this realm, you start it in the Spirit. It's not started here. This realm exists because of the Spirit realm. This realm was created out of the Spirit realm. If you want to make the change, the power to change this realm is in that realm. And that's why we hook up, we pray in other tongues, we're praying out the mysteries of God. Hallelujah. Bringing things to pass in this realm where we live. So God gave tongues really to believers for a divine supernatural communication with Him. To do His will, to do His plans, to do His purposes. When we're in prayer and praying in tongues, we're working together with God. God's not in operation. We don't pray in tongues trying to get God to do something. We're praying in tongues. We're hooking up with God. See, people get over there and they'll get praying like they're, guys are, I remember years ago, listening to people talk, they like, we're praying in tongues like they're twisting God's arm to do something or something like that. You ain't twisting God's arm. You're working together with Him. When you pray in tongues, you're speaking out His plans and purposes. It's working together. That's a wonderful relationship. Understand, you're operating over in a supernatural and you're hooked up with God Himself. Hallelujah. You're not trying to get God to do something. Hallelujah. He's speaking His plans and purposes through you. And one of the things I want to deal quickly here with, we'll do a little bit of. Well, I think I better stop because it'll take a little bit here. Next time we'll pick up and talk about spiritual warfare. Because these people get over in this thing and we're going to talk about what the Bible really says is spiritual warfare. And you're going to find out it's not at all what people say it is. Because we're going to look what the Bible says. Because people have looked, they pull scriptures out of context and say things. And this is why I saw this happen in the 1980s and it went into the 1990s. And really, it's what has caused the problems in America today. These people get over, and they were actually operating Christians in what they called intercessions and all kinds of stuff like that, and dealing with demonic stuff. They were actually enhancing it in our nation because they were working more with the devil than they were against him, because they got over into excess. And really, that's how the church got all messed up. They got all out in this thing. Then everybody pulled back from what was true. They pulled back from what was right out of the Word of God with the supernatural, because people got into excess. God tried to bring a move of the Spirit to bring into our nation. Really, He wanted to start the deliverance ministry, dealing with demonic powers. And people got into excess and stopped that move of God. God wasn't able to bring it in the earth. He brought it to a halt. The Lord spoke to me about that, about what took place. There was a real move of God going on, but people got into excess and they stopped it. The church did that. They didn't. We can't blame that on the world. And by stopping that, left demonic powers operating more in our nation. And so we don't want it. That's why you stay in line with the Word. And we'll look at that next time. And I believe it'll really help you a lot, because too many Christians are too worried about the devil. They're too worried about it. It's like, you know, even with our nation, the problem going on and the demonic stuff going in our nation. You know, if you understand the truth, you won't be afraid. You won't be afraid at all. Hallelujah. You won't take a negative look at what's going on in this world. You won't walk around here negative. I'll tell you, you won't get into wacky stuff. Hallelujah. And where you can live a blessed life, and where the devil don't dominate you, and you can help other people so he don't dominate them. And that's what you want to do. I thank God. I mean, I sat under Kenneth Hagin's teaching on this stuff, and he'd talk about it, and I was just so blessed to hear it, because there is so much junk. Most teaching that I ever heard taught out from people about spiritual warfare is not scriptural. It's people's ideas, and they don't have scriptural base for it. And if they use scriptures, and really, 99% of the time, it's out of context. And so we want to really understand what's going on. And if we understand what's going on, that's the whole thing. The devil wants you confused. He don't want you to know. He doesn't want you to know how vulnerable he is. He's vulnerable. But he's not vulnerable if I'm playing his game. And that's what he wants, to keep you in the dark. But we ain't staying in the dark. Hallelujah. We're people of light. Glory to God. And the devil ain't going to run our lives. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we just want to thank you tonight. Thank you so much, Father, for your goodness and your mercy and kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Thank you for being so patient and kind. Lord God, you tried so many things to going on. And Lord God, we're not blaming anybody else. Lord God, we sure did trip you up sometimes too. But Lord God, I want to thank you. You are patient and good to us, to help us get back on our feet. And Lord God, you know our heart's desire is to be after you. Father God, we want your best. Hallelujah. And Father God, I want to thank you for being patient to teach us again, to instruct us again. Father, set us on the right road to lead us and guide us into the truth. Father God, I thank you that we're the glorious church. Hallelujah. Father God, this church is rising up. The fulfillment of a prophecy Kenneth Hagin said, spoke about the people that are going to rise up in the last days who are going to know their God. Hallelujah. Father God, that's the group we're in. Rising up, knowing who God really is. Glory to God. Walking and living in the light of the truth, full of the glory of God. Hallelujah. So we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.